Hey. Ooh, that lighting. I'm gonna get started shortly. Let me find. Bear with me. I'm getting started shortly. Wait, though, it's 12 more minutes for people to make sure I'm recording. I think I am. Yep, that's good. Hey, Evelyn.
Hi, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I did not have a volume on. We're going to get started just momentarily. Right. So just give it another minute and we'll get started. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, we actually made it out to the State Fair.
Oh, my children went there before they headed back home. So yeah, that's awesome. How was
It was not as packed, and so that's good. We made sure because we were going to go on Saturday, but that's when the big OU game was, so Sunday was better.
And when do they end? When does it end?
On the 19th.
The 19th?
Yes, sir.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because Rachel wants to go and I didn't know. So,
You should take her. It's really nice.
and where is it exactly?
It's at Fair Park in Dallas.
Bear Park, okay.
Yes. They march the horses through there. They have a big parade
Ooh.
every night. It's really cool.
And it's 10:19. So let's see, when is the 19th? What is that? I don't
Well,
even know.
today's the 13th, so you've got what, 6 days?
Oh, good. So it'll be on through the weekend, right? At least till
Yes.
Saturday. Oh, good, good,
Yes,
good,
sir.
good. So maybe we can go Friday or something, or even today. I don't know. So, well, let me go ahead and get started. So, we are continuing this series on the total transformation process, and it's interesting when I think about total transformation. You know, it's always easy for me to think about the caterpillar and the butterfly, and how that transformation process occurs. But I also think about when we look at even around us, nature, the seeds, and because the trees, as I look outside my window, at one point were just a seed, and there's a transformation process of what that seed will become. And that's such a clear picture of what God wants us to become. We don't always know what that is, but if we're faithful and we're obedient and we follow His word and we seek His guidance through the Holy Spirit, then we will become exactly what He's planned us to be. He sets His mark, fingerprint per se, on us, on our souls. He makes us specific and very unique so that we would accomplish the very specific things that He's tasked us to do. But the key part is we've got to allow Him to do His part. Of course, our part is simply to obey Him and that surrendering process, because we cannot be transformed until we are surrendered to Him. So when I think about total transformation, it's becoming who we were meant to be. And part of that process, like I said, is we don't always know what the future is going to hold, but we can be very confident, as the scripture says, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And that the key, two key elements there is loved and called according to His purpose, not our purpose, but His purpose. And when we understand that His purposes are higher, His ways are higher than ours, and we can have full confidence and faith that God is working everything out for His glory, but also for our joy and our peace and all of those wonderful things that we desire. So when we think God's original plan, especially when we go back into the garden, that we were to walk with God in obedience, in righteousness. So that's God's refined them and dwell with God, walk with Him in righteousness and obedience to Him. In order to do that, we must change who we are to what we are to become. And that's the process. We can't do it apart from God. The only way is through death, death to self. Now that's, as I was preparing for this lesson, it's like, no, nobody really wants to hear that part, the death part. But it's interesting, the very stumbling block, the very thing that gets in our way is our self. And when we understand the self, connected at in the sense of the garden to the sin nature, in order for us to dwell with God, who is holy. And when we understand the concept of the Holy Spirit, He's called holy because He is God who is righteous, and God and sin cannot cohabitate. And so that's why God desires that we be dead to ourselves in regards to our desires of sinful nature that only comes as we surrender. And we see a great scripture here, which is kind of what I started with, but John 12, 23 through 26, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." So he uses his upcoming death to basically explain what happens in nature, but what is required of us to be able to become what God has envisioned us to be. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat or any seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a simple seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So it's no different than the caterpillar. The caterpillar has to cease to exist so that that seed within it can actually manifest into what God had planned it to be. And so a seed is never really the original intent. The original intent is that it become what God had planned and planted in that seed. And when we are born, even before we're born, we have, God has kind of imprinted in us something he wants to see happen within our individual life. And we've got to go through the process of death to the self so that that manifestation of what he wants us to become, that transformation occurs. So anyone, and Jesus talks about anyone who loves their life will lose it. Because the value of a life is not in loving your life. The value of a life in life is what God has already envisioned it to be. But if we are trying to seek to have our life our way, we will never really end up getting to what God hasn't fully intended. So it says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And he's trying to help us understand that when we love our life, and this is where it gets a little confusing, it's the life of the world. And God says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We're going to go over that verse. He's trying to help us understand that the world that we have that exists now is not what God had fully intended. It is basically the consequence of the outworking of sin and corruption and death and all of that. And God is basically trying to restore us first in our character so that we would be like the image of his son. So that, it's, and I don't want to get confusing, but we are to love this world in regards to the people in it, but not the things that is going to lead us towards destruction. And he, there's many, many examples when I think about the prodigal son, for example. And so whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My father will honor the one who serves me. And part of that process of serving is getting to the point of we are actually surrendered to the death to self so that we are willing to follow God in faith, not knowing what the future holds, but knowing God, who is a promise keeper, has already guaranteed us a wonderful life as we follow him. Part of that process as we trust in him is he will begin, and we're going to see that in Jeremiah 29, 11, that God has made these promises, but the promises are contingent upon our obedience. And that obedience is by walking by faith, and Christ was the very example. So when we understand, because Christ made decisions not on what he wanted to do, he made decisions based on what the Father wanted him to do, because he knew if he followed the Father, he would live the life that he was intended to live. So we were never intended to do life apart from God, because God, who created us, recognized that we had to depend upon it for everything. So when man disobeyed God, their creator and sustainer, there was a consequence. God knew we could not survive apart from him. Part of our makeup or genetic code was our need for him. He was our bread of life and living water. I shared some of that with you last week. And it's interesting, God brought me to John chapter 16. And it's really it's an illustration, but it's really what God is doing in our lives. So we understand and look at John 16, says, and this is Christ speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." Let me stop for a second, because the pruning process is often demonstrated in trials and tribulation and in suffering. And if anyone knows, in regards to taking care of plants and different things like that, you have to prune it in order for it to bear the fruit, in order for it to grow. Otherwise, it's going to get wild. And so God, who prunes us because he wants us to bear fruit, and the pruning is very painful at times, but the ultimate outcome of the Father is for us to bear fruit. And we're going to see what that fruit is. so that it will be more fruitful. Pruning's process is to bear fruit or to be more fruitful. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. And this is so vital. Remain in me as I also remain in you. So when Jesus, when I talked about that, we cannot be apart from the Creator. We are part of him by spirit, by soul. And when we try to get away from the Father, it's almost like when you try to live a day or two or three without water. You can't survive. Same thing with food. We have to have that relationship with the Father, because everything that comes from him comes to us for the purpose of living out his purpose, his will, and also that we would be, that we would glorify him. It says, you are already clean because the word said, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch, and he uses this as an example when he's talking about remaining in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself because there is no life. So once a branch is cut off, it begins to die. We see that in flowers every day. No branch can bear fruit by itself, must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So God's intention is that we remain in him through the surrendering process. Another example of what happens, and this is actually physically a physical example. So if a branch is cut off and a gardener can actually engraft the branch back in to the tree or to the root, it will actually begin to have life and grow again. And that's the same concept. When we disobeyed, when we sin, we were separated from God. Because of Christ, we now have that right relationship with him. And God's expecting us to depend upon him, because he knows, because he created us, that we can't do anything apart from him. So as we depend upon him, as we surrender, his power, his strength, his love flows through us. And that is how we bear fruit. So the fruit that God is desiring from us only comes as in our relationship and our surrendering to him. So let me find where I left off. if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done unto you. So the right relationship is when we are connected and surrendered to God, we can ask anything and it will be done unto you. That's one of God's promises. Because we have that loving relationship, because we're completely dependent upon the Father, we are unified with the Father. And because of that, the very thoughts of the Father become our thoughts. And when we're asking God, we're doing these things because we want to glorify him, please him. And so the Holy Spirit is basically communicating with us the very thoughts of God. And that's one of his roles. So this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. So part of the outcome, when you KPI or ROI, whatever you want to call it, is in the light of a relationship, a loving relationship with the Father, we will bear fruit. And then, of course, as we're bearing fruit, people recognize that we are Christ's disciples. So as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. That's evidence of our love for God, the commandments, because God gave us certain commandments so that we would be in obedience to him, so that we would be able to be blessed by him. And that's evidence of our love for him. Just like when you love someone, you want to please that person. It's no different than with God. God sees our obedience and it's evidence of our love for him. So if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be full. So understand, when God created us, he knew that we needed him. And he knows when we are obedient and we listen to his commands, the outworking, or i.e. the fruit, because joy is one of the fruits of spirit, is we will have joy. And so God knows when we have joy, life will go much better for us. We will be much more appreciative. Our relationships will go well and we will love other people. My command in this is this: love each other as I have loved you, because Christ was the ultimate example. He said he laid down his life for, and he said, there's no greater love than this, that we lay down our life for another. Greater love, here's the verse, greater love has no one than this, lay down one's life for one friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. Everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command to love one another. And, I'm probably going to do a lesson because I don't fully think we understand the depths of God's love and why love is the driving force. And Paul even talks about this. He says, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And love is the motivation. Love is what drives us, not only to the Father, because when we drift away from God, we begin to get a sense of loneliness, anxiety, depression. But as we draw closer to Him, draw nigh to God, and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. When we draw near to God, we begin to experience a sense of fullness, a sense of wholeness, because that's God's original intent, that we can't get apart from Him without suffering the consequences of that. Of course, a lot of those are going to be negative type emotions. So let me go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we're going to share some songs, and I want to talk about the importance of that relationship and how, as we draw closer to God, He begins to transform us in our character and begins to put within us a sense of the vision of what He has planned for us in our lives. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we would continue to allow your spirit to guide us and direct us, help us. And Lord, just to recognize that we, apart from you, we can't do anything. We so desperately need you. And then, Father, that you would just open up this day. We would have such a sense of appreciation and gratitude and love, recognizing, Lord, that you have just so provided everything we need in this day. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be fixed on you, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, that we would just recognize how amazing you are and all that you're trying to do to help us to recognize that we need you so very much. I praise you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First song's called Broken into Beautiful. And remember, God has to break us down first so that He can create the very image of His Son in us, which basically will be the very beautiful thing that He wants to see in us. So let me share that. Share what I'm doing here. Okay, give me a second.
Lord, you're restoring the ancient ruins. You are rebuilding a holy nation for your great name. Lord, you will rescue fallen, you are redeeming what we have broken for your great name. Beauty for ashes, the joy to face tomorrow, heavenly melodies as silence turns to prayer. Stand firm on the God of generations, all for the glory of the King. Lord, you're revealing what has been hidden, you're bringing healing. God of generations. the King. There is goodness everywhere you go, turning broken into beautiful, and your mercy like a river flows. Let it flow. All the stolen years will be restored with the harvest we've been waiting for, and the house of God will overflow. Let it flow.
Next song is New One. I love this song. God gave me this song earlier this morning. We understand there's actually a passage, you don't put new wine in old wineskin. And he was referencing with basically the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us has to be transformed, for the ultimate goal, hence holy, is that the holiness of God will come upon us and transform us into the image of his Son, so that we would behave and speak as if we are Christ. And the Holy Spirit's role is to bring to our remembrance, which is why it's so important we get into God's word, bring to our remembrance the very things that Jesus spoke about and what he did to transform lives. We are simply his tool, his instruments to be the transformers of other people as we live that life of sacrifice and surrender and obedience, because we will be blessed. And what Christ is basically telling us, step out of your fear, be courageous, speak to that person, share your testimony, share the kind of love, because we don't know what people are going through. We know what we may be going through, but we have to understand that God is desiring to use us so that we would be able to transform the lives of others, or to introduce them to the one that can transform the lives of others.
The soil.
Make me
that we are all created for the purpose of glorifying God. We do it not in how we look. We don't. We do it in how we behave and how we speak and how we treat other people. And I don't remember exactly the verse, but it said, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all for the glory of God. When we understand that our role purpose is to glorify God, and the only way we can do that is by absolute surrender, allowing His Holy Spirit to teach us, to instruct us, to counsel us in everything we need to do each and every moment of the day. And as we surrender, we are glorifying God because His Holy Spirit is speaking through us. And we will have new power. We will have all that we need to make sure that this day is full, because Christ said, I came to give you a life and a life abundant. And we are blessed in our desire to glorify God. We are blessed because we have a sense of gratitude for everything He's given to us. And all we want to give back to Him is glory and gratitude and thanks and love. And so I want to share the next song, which is the truth, because Christ said, I came to set the captive free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we understand the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy and distort the truth. And the way to the way that God has intended for us is to always follow Him, which is the truth.
Times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. I used to know who I was, now I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to You. So much noise living rent free in my head. Heaven finds me in a still small voice, and it sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. Truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I am truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to You. But I've never been so sure. The truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I am truly.
Thank you. It's interesting. So many of us are still that caterpillar, and we don't yet have the vision of what God has put within our hearts to become the beautiful handcrafted butterfly that can soar on Eagle's wings and fly and become the very purpose and intent God had created for us to be, which is why it's so important that we spend time in God's Word, because God's Word is the step-by-step process of going through from the caterpillar to the butterfly. That's what it says when Christ said that, and there's so many different verses I could go and talk about, but God's Word is what nourishes us each and every day to get us from here to there. And as we look and spend time with God, He confirms the very reason He created for us. And He begins to pour into us what He sees in us and not what we see in ourselves. Because when we see in ourselves, when we look in the mirror, what we're often telling ourselves are those stories, the shame, the guilt of the choices we made, the choices we made because of sin. And God, in His mercy and grace, lifts our chin up so that we can look in the mirror and we can see the reflection of Him and we can see the reflection of Christ in that mirror. And that's who He wants us to become. And the only way we can do that is we spend time in His Word and we are enriched by the truth of who He says we are. Not what the enemy says, not what our past says we are, but who He says we are. Then we will become and we will be able to withstand the trials, the struggles that the caterpillar goes through to become that butterfly. And that's why surrender and obedience is so vital. I'm going to end with this song and then we'll finish up the lesson. Is lead us again. We've got to get to a point where we're absolutely dependent upon God. We don't fill our life with things that are busy to keep us occupied. We fill our life with things that are going to be fulfilling, that's going to bear fruit, that's going to glorify God.
Tired of forcing moments, conjuring up emotions, put your name on it. Do we just love the spotlight? Start a whole movement, have a face on it. No, we can't plan revival, shift the atmosphere, or create the fire. Cause that's what you do, yeah, only you do. That's why we need you to lead us again. Holy Spirit, lead us. We don't wanna stay where we have been. Holy Spirit, lead us again. Oh, we don't wanna move ahead of you. Worship the schedule instead of you. Put on display our best and brightest. Ironically, the stage is where we hide. That's why we need you. Lord, we need you. God, we can't do what only you do. Holy Spirit, lead us again. Oh, Holy Spirit, lead us again. Oh, we don't wanna stay where we have been. Holy Spirit, lead us again. Lead, Holy Thank you.
get back to where I can see y'all and you can see me. And stop sharing. However, I can do that. I know I can do that. Hold on a second. There you go. All right, let me share the lesson real quick. Let's get back where we were. And as I said before, God's trying to get us back into his word, because when you understand from John chapter 1, it's the word became flesh. So the creator of the word, which is the creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, trying to get us back into his word, because our nourishment comes from his word. Our character development comes from taking in his word, as if we're eating and drinking. That's why Jesus talked about, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life. So in his sacrifice, he made that possible for us to get into a relationship. Because when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed, and we basically developed that quote unquote cancer of the soul, which was terminal. In order for us to get back in a right relationship, a perfect sacrifice had to be made, and that was Jesus. And in order to complete the transformation process, which is to be conformed, remember, we were created in the image of God. Now we need to be conformed, reconciled in a relationship, not so much in the physical nature, but in the character nature of Christ, who was sacrificial, willing to do whatever was necessary to reconcile man and woman back into relationship with God. And that transformation process is taking of where we were as sinful creatures to restored, redeemed creatures, so that we can basically fulfill God's vision and plan for each and every one of our lives. That process, once we're transformed, is the sanctification process. That sanctification process is a maturity, a development. We see it in our own lives as we become, as we're born babies and we become adults. There is a process of maturity. The sanctification maturity process as a believer is as we trust in God and we walk by faith and we spend time in his word begins to transform us and mature our character. That's why Christ, I'm sorry, that's why Paul said, I can't even give you the meat. Because you won't be able to. It's almost like we don't have teeth to be able to chew the meat, which is which is the harder things in life. But as we grow and we spend time in God, with God, and a relationship begins to mature us through the trial and through the tribulations, so that we will be ultimately, as people look at us, they will see the reflection of Christ in our character, because we're acting and we're speaking and we're behaving as if as he did. And when we understand, that's why I love Psalms chapter 1. And I'm just going to read it, but it basically talks about the ones that are blessed and the ones that are cursed. We as humans have a choice. We can be blessed and we can be cursed. And David basically talks about, here's what you need to do. So blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. The wicked are not born that way per se, in the sense that they are because of the sin nature, but they make conscious choices. And in the conscious choices, their soul, their spirit, it becomes corrupt. So they're behaving and doing things that are so against what God desires. And David is basically portraying the one who chooses not to be wicked, doesn't walk in that way, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the company of mockers, but the one who chooses to love God. That's why Jesus said the two greatest commandments is to love God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. When we choose to love God, we are going to want to spend time with him. We're going to want to delight in his word. I think about another verse. I think it's in Psalms 119. I hid thy word in my heart that I not may not sin against you. When we hide God's word and we meditate upon it, it becomes the Holy Spirit basically is charging us and reminding us, this is wrong. If you do this, there's going to be consequences. And when we understand that in obedience, there's protection, there is safety, which is why God has commandments, because he does not want us to disobey. Not because he wants to punish us, because he knows the effects of consequences of that disobedience. And so one who is following after God and seeking God and delighting in God and meditates on God's word day and night, So that person, when that person does that, example is, will be like a tree planted by streams of water that's constantly being nourished, that's constantly being fed. The outcome of that is will be yield fruit in its season. It won't wither when it's going through difficult times. It will prosper. Comparatively, those that don't love God, those that don't seek God, they are going to be like the chaff, the wind. They're going to be blown away by the circumstances and experiences. So therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the seat of the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. God doesn't desire anybody to go to destruction, but he knows, because he's a loving God who gives us choice, we are going to choose one or the other. And God desires us for us to choose obedience, choose righteousness, because by default, we're going to be blessed from that. So the how of transformation, what's our part? Our part is simply to surrender in obedience. And God often will use trials and tribulations and struggles to break us. That's why when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts off, blessed are the broken in heart, because he understands until your heart is broken, until you are surrendered, I can't do anything with you. And it breaks God's heart, but that is the process for us. Because remember, we are just clay. When we try to create our life apart from God, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to consequences that are not going to be blessed for us. But when we surrender and we allow God through the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our steps, then we are going to create the life, because God, we're allowing God to do that. And that's, Christ said, I don't do anything apart from the Father. He understood that connection. He understood that submission. He understood that surrender process in order to accomplish everything God had set forth. I'm going to read several verses that talk about how we do that. And I think almost every lesson I've gone, God's had me going to Romans chapter 12, but it so clearly outlines. And if you read the rest of Romans 12, you'll see that playing out when we as believers do this process. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how we then do that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, which is the sinful pattern, which is disobedience, to live in darkness, to claim there is no truth. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, following after the knowledge of evil, but be transformed. It's the process of the transformation occurs in the mind. First, the heart has to be surrendered. Because remember, we by nature have a hard heart. And that's why God has to break us, so that we can be moldable like clay in the potter's hand, in the creator's hand. And in that process, once our heart is tender and sensitive towards him, he begins to renew our mind. In the renewing of the mind is the transformation process. That renewing of the mind happens as we spend time in God's word, where basically the lies that we believed all of our lives are then set up against the truth of God's word. Who he says we are, not who we think we are, not who other what others have said, but what God says. As that truth begins to come over, in the sense of the lies we believe, there's a transformation process, because we're going to have to make a choice. And that's why belief is so important. We don't believe the things that are lies. We believe in the truth, but we've got to understand what the truth is, because many of us have actually believed a lie. And of course, that's led to many problems that we've had in life. So when you are transformed by the renewed mind, then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. Ultimately, God's will is our path towards blessings, our path towards abundance, our path towards peace, our path towards what God wants for our life. We only do that as we surrender, allow him to transform our mind as we're getting into his word. So then in Romans 5, 3 through 5, not only so, but we also glory. And this is where we're talking about. In order for God to transform us, he's got to be able to break us. And part of that process of breaking us is the character development. We are by nature not going to choose the good things because of our sinful nature. That's why surrender is so important. So, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations, circumstances in life, they begin to produce perseverance. These are all character qualities. God is trying to change our character so that we behave like Christ. So perseverance, character, and character hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when we're talking about your heart, it's really, who are we spending time with? What are we putting into our mind? What are we feeding? Because that which you feed will grow. But if you're not feeding the things that are going to lead you towards evil, towards disobedience, and you're protecting your heart, protecting your mind, then you will have, as Isaiah 4:26 says, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. When we are trusting in God and leaning on him, he's going to give us the very things that Christ had, those very character qualities. So Philippians 4:8, and just like I said, it really comes down to, what are we focusing on? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Is any words in there negative? No, because God understands when we focus on the negative, it's going to impact our soul, our spirit. It's going to weigh us down. It's going to feed anxiety, fear. That's why it says we are to, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments which are lies and every pretense that sets itself against the knowledge of God. So when we're looking at, okay, what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe this or am I going to believe this? We understand God's truth, we will be able to discern what truth is, and that's what we take captive. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because that which comes into our mind is going to play out in our behavior, is going to play out in our speech. We have to set before us what God's plan is and why he wants to do the things he wants to do. Jeremiah 29 is like our vision verse. For I know the plans I have for you. These are in the future. You understand, God created us for a plan in the future. We walk with him each and every day in order to get to that future. If we try to do it apart from him, the plans he has for us are already there. But if we don't walk with him, we will never meet those plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Our goal and our desire is to stay so close to God because, faith is a step-by-step process. I don't fully understand, and you know, we're all on a journey here. God does not necessarily reveal the future to us, but we know as we trust in him, we take him by the hand. Read Psalms 23. He says he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. As we trust in him and walk with him, he will make sure that we're taken care of. He will prepare the steps. He will prepare the plans. But he uses his word to be that guide. And I don't want to get into this right now, but, you know, last week we talked about Paul's transformation. And it's interesting. Paul was like, I'm trying to best describe him right now, because he was like, he was a Pharisee. He was very knowledgeable. He was a great leader, you know, all these qualities. But he was so misguided in regards to his plan, what he thought God's plan was for his life. And God used those skills, but he had to break Paul, which is why he blinded him on the road to Damascus. And it's interesting, and I may share a little bit, before God can use Paul, he had to completely humble him. And Paul actually spent, I want to say, 14 years in the desert getting to know the Christ he was persecuting. And he got to a point where he was so humbled and broken, he says, that I am the greatest of sinners, because God knew if he was going to use somebody like a Paul, he had to completely humble him, and he had a complete transformation of who he was. And then he ended up becoming one of the greatest Christians in history, wrote most of the New Testament, because God wanted to use this man, but he had to break him first. He didn't care. God did not care that he was a Pharisee. God did not care that he had the whole Bible memorized. That's not what God wanted. He wanted somebody who was surrendered and obedient, because God was going to use Paul as he uses each and every one of us. God will use our gifts, our talents, because that's what makes us unique. But we've got to be willing to allow God to mold us and to shape us so that he can accomplish what Christ was able to accomplish in his time. Our role is simply to allow him to do that. And when we do, we are forever blessed. Our relationships are forever blessed. Our lives are blessed. And ultimately, God is glorified. And so on that note, let me go ahead and close in prayer. I do want to give you a little bit of a warm teaser, I guess. God's pretty much laid it on my life. We live a physical life and we have a soul and a spirit. We have very little knowledge of what it means to be in the spirit realm. And I'm gonna make an attempt because I think it's very important. As we're led by the spirit, we need to understand what that means in our life and how we live, because there are spirits around us in regards to, like I said, we typically see with our five senses, but there's so much of the world that we don't understand spiritually. And I think it's very important we understand when things happen to us, we need to be able to have intuition, and the Holy Spirit gives us that discernment to recognize. So I'm gonna be praying about doing a series on the spirit life and what that means and how we can become more spiritually attuned, so that we can truly recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, because that's how we know what steps to take in order to get to where God wants us to be. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful lesson. Lord, thank you for guiding us and directing us, and that the Holy Spirit begins to take over in our lives so that we would be able to accomplish the things that you had planned and purpose. We want to glorify you in everything we do, everything we say, that you would use us, Lord. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.